Today on the AV Podcast, we're bringing you part three of the After the Dance episodes based on the Last Dance documentary about Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls dynasty era in the 1990s, which is showing exclusively on ESPN and Netflix if you don't live in the U.S. or have IPTV. I'm joined today by Sal Sharaf family member Headley as we break down our thoughts and views on episodes 5 and 6 on the 10-part docuseries. We break down the growing brand of Jordan overall and how it just grew exponentially. His pettiness, we recall on our memories of those famous Knicks series against Ewing and Starks, the 1993 NBA Finals versus Barkley, plus the pressures of fame, Kobe Bryant making an appearance. Look, there's a lot to unpack here, so just please sit back this morning or this afternoon and enjoy this one. Sal Sharaf is available wherever you listen to your podcasts. Listen, rate, review, and subscribe to all of the shows coming from Sal Sharaf Radio. I appreciate the continued support. I'd ask you to hit me with that 5-star thumbs all the way up type love, but I know you're already doing it. You know, so I don't got to remind you. You got it. And to check out my entire catalog of podcast shows, make sure you subscribe to SalSharaf.com. Once again, that's SalSharaf.com. It's the AV Podcast with Cal C on Sal Sharaf Radio. What time is it?
Welcome to the AV Podcast with Cal C on Sal Sharaf Radio.
Welcome to the AV Podcast. My guest for today is... he's a Sal Sharaf family member, and I wanted to bring him on this episode specifically because he was my guest on one of my favorite episodes that I had about almost 4 years ago. You can roll back in the catalog to check it out. It's called the Shitty Shoe War Stories, and it talks about basically our journeys of going through shitty shoes and when we got our name brand shoes. And the Jordan shoe is specific to that part of that conversation. So double back after this one and go check that one out. I might actually repost this on Thursday or Friday to represent Throwback Thursday or Flashback Friday kind of thing. But ladies and gentlemen, either way, please welcome Eddie to the show. How you doing today?
Yo, that episode literally had left me with my face hurt from laughing so much, man. It was good therapy because during those times, it was tough.
Oh man!
But you know, you can laugh about it now.
Oh man,
those are tough times as a kid.
It was tough, and honestly, there's not much people that are gonna go through that experience again.
No, because they're not gonna go through that anymore.
Shoes are so cheap now. Name brand shoes are so cheap now. You'll never go through that again.
Yo, we're paying generic shoes the same price you're paying for Nikes now.
I know.
The only solace I had is that everybody was going through the same place.
Yeah, it wasn't just you.
You know what I mean? Everybody had a whole bunch of whack shoes, at least with the people I grew up with. Our parents were first generation Canadians. They didn't, you know, West Indian parents. They didn't care about all that.
No, not at all. They didn't care about our feet. They didn't love our feet. But let's talk about the episodes 5 and 6 of The Last Dance. So just to get right into it right away, what were your thoughts on episodes 5 and 6? Like, what were the things about that episode that hit you?
You know what? I know a lot of people, like, up until now, the series, episode 5 was their favorite. I think with me, don't get me wrong, I liked it. But because I remember all that stuff, like, a lot of stuff with the first couple episodes with Pip and Rodman, I didn't know their backstories as much.
Yeah.
So that was very intriguing to me to see some of the internal details with that, mm-hmm. even with Phil Jackson and stuff. But when it comes to the three-peats with the Bulls, and it was really reminiscent to those times. Like I remember watching those games. It's like being there again. It's funny because Calvin, I mean, it wasn't those games yet. We're gonna get to them, but I still remember the game between the Knicks and Pacers. Remember when the Knicks were up by 10, and it was like. It was like 3 minutes left in the game, and we had basketball practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you remember this. And I said, okay, I can leave home now because this game is out. It was double digit with like mere minutes left. That was a game where Reggie Miller scored like 10 points.
Where he
got back-to-back threes. He stole the ball and went back and shot a three.
9 points.
I missed all that, Jordan. I got to your house, and I was like, oh, man, that game was done. You're like, you didn't see the ending? I was like, are you serious? I came to pick you up, and I missed the most exciting part of the game.
But yeah, that was the best part of the – that was one
that,
of the best
That just brings me back to those when I was playing ball and, you know, school time and stuff. So it was very reminiscent of that, right? Mm-hmm. What was intriguing with part six is I was always the dude that said if Jordan didn't retire, they would have won 8 straight. I was that guy. Mm-hmm. But now watching part six and realizing how much toll that played on him, I don't say that anymore. I don't think I can say that with the same kind of confidence I did before. I didn't realize how much it took out of them, took out of the team, took out of Jordan to do that three-peat. Like, it's almost like he needed that break to kind of reset and do it again. Like, I don't think I'm as confident he could have just ran the table.
Yeah, I was never one of those people that believed.
I was one of those dudes. Yeah. I was like, yo, he, you know what I mean? If he didn't retire, they were going. Nah. Nobody was stopping. That was me.
Yeah, I didn't believe that because just of what you said. I think the wear and tear was would have caught to them. Injuries might have happened too. No, that would have been that could have been a second thing. And then, you know, you got to give credit to. I mean, the Rockets are the only team that won in the '90s, other than the Bulls. And exactly. I guess if you want to count the 1990 Pistons, but like they were the only team that won. And I guess the Spurs in '99, but that was it, right? Like, but during that Jordan period, that era. Like,
well, you can't forget about the Lakers three-peat.
No, but that was in the 2000s though. I'm just talking about specifically the '90s. I'm just talking about the '90s. But like, when you see like Olajuwon and stuff like that, I mean, it would have been nice to see if they would have ended up meeting Houston in the finals because really and truly, like they had. I mean, they've it's documented. Like you can look it up. Like Jordan and them, they always said like that's a big old monster. They had zero answers for Olajuwon. Nobody did really, but like especially Chicago. Chicago didn't have – they had Weddington and – well, not even Weddington back then. It would have been like Will Perdue and like Stacey K. Like they were not handling the dream at all.
Luke Longley?
Yeah.
You're going to knock out Luke Longley like that?
Yeah. I will. Definitely will. Like there's
Will Perdue?
Yep. There's no way. And even Bill Weddington, he can get that smoke too. Like there's no – none of them was getting to that at all. You know what I mean? So that would have been –
Yeah, I mean, it definitely would have been against two of their strengths. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It would have been interesting to see, but hey, it didn't happen. But again, I didn't realize how much wear and tear it had put on Jordan.
Yeah,
for that three-peat, man.
And we'll definitely get to that. I think like the one of the things I love so much just about the documentary overall is like, you know, you kind of get to see the unpolished versions of your favorite players. You know what I mean? Like I don't know if you caught. Well, you would have watched it, but like the part where Magic walks into the locker room. And he starts cussing until he realizes the camera's on him.
Yeah,
and
then I caught that too. I was like, okay, Magic. Magic always got that big old Kool-Aid smile all the time.
always polished. Like, I love that so much, man. I laughed. Yeah. I love that so much. Because I'm like, that's what we want to see. And listen,
yeah,
like, we played sports. So we know the kind of talking that goes on with your boys and your teammates in the locker room and stuff. But like you never get to see your players actually talk like, and you know they do. So to see it was like, oh, that's what you want to see.
To back up on that, also when Magic threw the ball into the stands at practice, yo, I died. I was like, yo.
Listen.
Yo, Magic ticks, son. And this is after he retired.
But listen to me carefully though, man. Listen to me carefully. I will two things. Number one, I would pay almost anything to watch those Dream Team practices.
Because
there's video of it, but I don't know. Maybe they're gonna make a documentary of it one day, but it's like it'll never get released. But I would do anything to watch that. Number one, and then number two, if I ever get a chance, I'll lend you my Dream Team book and I'll refer to it a couple of times through the podcast. But the Dream Team book, like. They talked about Magic when he came back after he retired. He came back, but he was still walking around with his chest out like, this is my league still, you know?
Yeah.
and Jordan had to blow, you know, put a pin in his chest.
Yeah, this is, you know, when he said he's an alpha male.
Yeah. Cause I remember one of the things that he said, it was like after it was probably after that practice, but they said he walked into Magic's, Magic and Burr were in one of the hotel rooms, and he came into the room to hang with them, and he was like, he's like, yo, there's a new sheriff in town, and he said both of them just looked at each other like, yeah, he ain't lying. He's right. Like, nothing we could do about this.
Well, remember what they said when they went into the bus? Everybody was silent because everybody still chewed off on that practice. Mm-hmm. And then Magic went to Chuck and was like, yo, I guess we should have pissed them off. And they all started laughing. You know what I mean?
I thought,
you know what is crazy, though? Yo, the amount of golf that Jordan played, like, during playoffs.
I know.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I think Jordan's one of those guys. You know, there's some people out there that, like, they can operate on, like, 3-4 hours sleep. Like, I think
clearly,
Jordan
that's what he was doing.
Yeah, I think Jordan's, like, he's one of those people. He's one of those people that
can
just.
This guy was even getting a full rest.
Yeah. Because
he played, yo, imagine playing 36 rounds of holes in the Phoenix sun.
I know.
Dude, that's crazy.
And you're tanned. Like, they said some games. I think it's funny. Yeah, they said that 93 said finals. They said he was tanned. Yeah, they said he was, like, dark as hell when you look at that finals because he was playing so much golf in the sun.
Like, crazy, man.
That stuff was crazy. And I think there was a couple things that hit me in like, these episodes. I think the way Kobe broke down his relationship with Mike is something that we all knew, but, like, it was just amazing for him to finally, like, see that clearly, like, you know, yeah. Like, just to say that part, like, hey, there's no me without him. You know what I mean? Like, this guy. Yo, like, I thought that was nice.
Did you feel, like, a little tingly when you saw him, man? Like,
yeah.
It was like, man, this is, yeah.
And you know, and I mean, I don't want to, you know, harp on this because the whole world's been, you know, bombarded with all this news. But with all the stuff that's happening, like, Kobe's death feels like it happened 3 years ago, not 3 months ago.
I know, huh? Like, it happened like 3 months ago.
Yeah, it's like when you saw him pop up on the TV, you're like, oh yeah, shit, he died, like, just, you know, recently. I mean? Like, it's just like, that's 2020 is just a crazy year, man. It's just a crazy year.
You know what I was just thinking just a while ago, and I was one of those guys. I was like, yo, Dan Majerle, he's done with Houston after the end of his contract with this whole thing with China, and I'm like, yo, that's such a distant memory now. The whole thing with him tweeting with the NBA and...
Oh, you mean Daryl Morey, you mean?
Yeah, what'd I say?
Dan Majerle.
Oh, sorry, yeah, Dan Morey, sorry. I'm like, yo, that's such a... that feels like it was an eternity ago now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, ain't nobody even... Nobody even cares about that.
Nobody even cares about
that. No, he's so lucky, though.
It's to his benefit, actually. To really,
yeah,
really,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Really and
that's
truly.
That's what I'm saying.
But you know what?
That makes it a distant memory.
Let's talk about the brand of Jordan for a minute. We grew up in the era where, you know, Jordan was building up to eventually be a king. And we all saw that rise to prominence. But, like, once he won with the Bulls, it really exploded. And, you know, at that time, of course, he was the guy. He was the king. I mean, he was for a few years anyway, but he didn't have the hardware to show for it. But, like, once he had that trophy to validate him, it kind of just it's almost like getting your master's degree in university. You know what I mean? Like, it just solidifies everything. Like, watching that part, what came to your mind going down memory lane with, like, the rise of, like, Air Jordan and all the endorsements and the commercials and everything? Like, what came to your mind?
It's crazy because I wouldn't say I'm a Jordan fanatic, but, you know, I think Jordan's one of the best of all time. So I read up on all this backstory. So I knew the Nike backstory, how he didn't even want to mess with them at the beginning. Like, he wanted no part of them. What I didn't know is I didn't realize how much Nike paid for his contract. I didn't realize that he got $250, but, like, stars were making $100,000 a contract. Yeah. Like, I didn't realize that they went that much above and beyond to get Jordan. And then what blew my mind is, you know, I didn't realize how quickly Jordan brand took off. When David Falk, and yo, little tidbit here, when I used to work in D.C., my boss used to live right behind David Falk's
Oh, really?
House at Bethesda, yeah. I remember he used to say, like, damn, that's Jordan's agent. But when he said that Nike was hoping that in year four that they'll break $3 million of Jordans, and they broke $126 million in the first year, I was like, what? I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Props whoever at Nike saw that, and David Falk for getting on Jordan's mama to be like, yo, tell this guy to come to the meeting. Because just imagine if I can't think of Jordan or Air Jordan or Jordan, whatever we call then, and another brat, it just doesn't seem right anymore. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't, it seemed like that was like peanut butter and jelly. However, Nike had never made a basketball shoe at that time. So it's just nuts to see Nike, who was an afterthought when it came to basketball. Well, now we know that the actual Air, like the Air Jordan brand by itself, is a whole division outside of Nike basketball.
And they're second in the market behind Nike, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
One brand of shoe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's stupid. And it's crazy where, you know, I think Kevin even said it in our chat that he, I can't remember how many years it's been, like 20-something years that he's retired.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I think it's, well, officially retired like 2003 with the Wizards, if you want to count that. So
yeah, but, oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
like 17, 18 years to be.
Yeah, whatever, yeah. Call it that. Fine. Yeah. We'll include a Wizard time. Mm-hmm. 17, 18 years, but you got kids who's never seen Jordan play live, other than on YouTube.
Never seen him play.
Who would kill for Jordans.
Yeah. Well, you saw the situation in Georgia over the past weekend where people were lining up. Lining up for the fives. Like, it's crazy to see, like, nothing's changed. It's so weird. It's weird because, like,
it's crazy that the Jordan 5, what are we on now? 20, how many Jordans are
30,
there now?
30, 33, 34 or something?
Is it that many?
34? Yeah, it's that much, something like that. Yeah, it's like 33, 34, something like that.
And he can still come out and do retros of the fives, and people are going to line up like they're brand new.
Oh, man.
It's crazy, man. Like, Jordan is never going to go broke.
No, not at all. And
that doesn't even include his Jumpman series, like the whole shebang that this guy has underneath it now.
Well, look at it. I mean, right now, I mean, even the future with him is bright still, because he's got two of the most popular young players to come out in the league in years, which is Zion and Luka Doncic.
I know.
Right? So, like,
it's stupid.
Yeah. Like, as long as those guys don't get hurt now or no major controversy befalls them, like, this is going to go on for another, like, 15 to 20 years again, especially if they're hitting their potential. It's going to be over. Like, they already made, I don't know if you saw, but they already made a Be Like Mike commercial when they threw in.
Yo, I didn't see it, but I saw it on Twitter that, Gatorade is going to be like Mike.
Yeah,
Zion.
Gatorade, like, yeah, Zion and, Zion, Ella, Della, what is her name? I forget her name. Donna Ella Don. Forget her name from WNBA player.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Jason Tatum, like, all three of them are in that commercial, like the
quarantine. Oh, they are. Version. I didn't know it was all three. I knew Zion was in it for sure.
It's the old like Mike commercial, but it's just they threw little clips of them like trying to dunk or do, you know, make a little basketball move in their house, that kind of thing.
Point but, being, like, it never ends. Like, he's still on top.
You know, the ultimate goal, you know, back then, you know, in the '80s, to be cool is you had to have and disagree with me if you want to, but like, you had to have a Michael Jackson jacket. you had to have all five of the Voltrons. I only had two.
Check.
And you needed a pair of the Jordan 3s, if you know, because that was when it really got popular, right? At least for us.
Dude, you know how it was back in the day. You could have, I think it's still like this to this day. You could have the wackest gear on earth, but the sneaks have to be clean. If the sneak is clean, you're good.
You get away with anything, yeah.
Yo, you could wear a loose neck white tee with some dirty jeans, and you got some Jordans on, you're good.
Yeah,
you could still holler at things.
But I think the biggest thing, one of the biggest things with Jordan is that, and it's much like the success of the NBA in the '80s, like it just it came at a perfect time because as much as he changed culture, Headley, like. The culture was also growing at an exponential rate because our TV grew. Like, you had cable, you had music, marketing change, like everything changed. Like I'm just thinking of like all the superstars in the '80s that came along during that time that really has never been, they're still as big as stars as they were then, or they just never been replicated.
Think about Calvin. How many people do you know actually plays in Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, do you still got, well, yeah, true. I mean, you're talking about the average person, you mean?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I know a lot of people, when they go play ball, they might take a LeBron or another pair of shoes or whatever the case may be, but it's the urban wear of Jordan that really took it off.
Well, I mean,
it's like what Nas says. It's the word, it's like, yeah. It was that whole, it's merging the culture and hip-hop with basketball, that concoction right there was just a recipe for success.
Well, I mean, you got to think of it. Like, just to go down my little list here, like, real quick. Like, you had, think about the stars that was back then, right? You had Michael Jackson, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Madonna, Wayne Gretzky, Larry Bird, Joe Montana, Bo Jackson, Janet Jackson, Tom Cruise, Tom Hanks, Denzel, Spike Lee, YouTube, hip hop, Oprah, Prince. You know what I mean? Like, those are some of the stars that are like either are just as big or bigger now, or they've just never been replicated, right? And like, there's nothing. And I kind of, and I mean, the Jordan phenomenon really represents that, I think, the best, because there's nothing in this world. I don't care what athlete you are, how big you are. There's nothing in this world that can replicate the Spike Lee, Mars Blackman, and the Gatorade commercial. Like, there's nothing that's going to come along again that can be on that level to surpass it. You know what I mean? Because, like, he went so far down that road, you're just basically chasing his dust. You know what I mean? Like, like every athlete is chasing that impact. Like, that whole slogan of, like Mike, trying to be like Mike, and it must be the shoes. That, remember that? I mean, when we were kids, like, that whole, it must be the shoes, it must be the shoes, 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 you know, like, it must be the, like, that you know, whole
some people
thing
be
was
playing
amazing.
That over in the head and don't even know where it came from.
Yeah.
Like, it was that impactful.
Yeah, I think that whole thing is just insane, like, when you think about it. And then on top of that, the whole Dream Team experience, I think, also it, like, even further. Like, just globally, just like it just like exploded even more.
You're right, because it never had the global appeal, the NBA, until the Dream Team.
Yeah, like, you know? Like, really and truly,
like,
yeah.
Like, not like how it is now.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, like, as much as Magic and Bird, their rivalry brought the NBA to a certain level, the marketing that it came with Jordan and the Dream Team and so forth and all that at the apex of his career.
Yeah.
Not to mention having one of the strongest dynasties ever. Look at all the Hall of Famers he's denied rings.
I know. And speaking of which, here's my next question. These two next questions is gonna basically kind of lend to that. Is Michael Jordan the king of petty? Is he Petty Pendergrass?
Yo, I don't know. I don't know if he really. Like, it's funny because I was listening. You know how every time they do the podcast on ESPN, they do like. They do a little show afterwards, right?
Okay.
And they had Jeff Van Gundy on it. Mm-hmm. And Jeff Van Gundy was like, yo, they're mythologizing all this. Like, Jordan didn't need these type of motivation to get motivated. He's self-motivated, right? But, so I don't know if he needed that, but at the same time, it's funny as hell to hear him talk about it now and how personal he took stuff, man. Like,
I don't know
if he needed it to kill them, but I don't know if he just needed that juice just to get him a little ticked off at people so he's not nice. But it was funny, man.
Yeah, like, the main principles of that, at least these episodes. I mean, there's countless stories of the amount of people he had grudges with in terms of he just bludgeoned them to death every time he played them. But like,
but it's funny. It's like, it's even his friend, like Charles Oakley wins MVP, and he's pissed off at Charles because he felt like he won. Like, it could be his friends. He didn't care.
Yeah, no, he didn't care. He didn't care. But like, the main culprits of his revenge, in at least as far as these two episodes go, was Tony Kukoc.
That was funny.
Clyde Drexler and Dan Majerle, which I didn't even really knew. Like, I didn't know about that part with Dan Majerle.
Yo, but what was so funny with that? Dan Majerle became a target because of Jerry Krause.
Yeah. Nothing to do with anything he said.
Actually, Tony Kukoc too, actually, when you think about it.
Yeah. Like I remember the Kukoc thing.
These guys hate Jerry Krause with a passion, son.
Yeah, I remember the Kukoc thing, because I still remember that, watching that as with the Dream Team games as a kid, and that's all they kept talking about. And I'm like, okay, like, what's the story? Then years later, it's like, because of the Krause's love and the... You know, like, Krause, as great as he was as a GM, he did some messed up things, for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, trying to handle Kukoc well before he even got to the league, you know, instead of, like, handling the guy that was helping you, you know, build this dynasty, you know? And Pippen. Like, yeah, like, of course you take that personal. Of course you
but
take
it's
that
just
personal.
So funny how these guys are getting the shitty end of the stick, and all reincarnated because of Jerry Krause. Yeah, I mean, they're like, yo, what did I do?
And they have no idea why.
They got no idea. Oh, that was funny, man.
The joke about, well, two things. The joke about Dan Majerle, that finals that they had against Phoenix, like, yeah, I mean, you could YouTube this if you want. I'm sure it's on YouTube. But what I remember about that series is, outside of Jordan destroying everybody on that team, was if you listen real closely, and this is something that me and my brothers used to talk about a lot, but if you listen real closely, every time Dan Majerle was guarding him, when Jordan took a step, you heard, help! Help! Every single time Jordan drove, help! 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 You could YouTube it. Don't even believe me. Go YouTube it and watch like one of those finals games.
Yo, but did you know Dan Majerle was known as a defensive stopper?
Oh, Dan Majerle was nice. Thunder Dan was nice, man.
Thunder Dan was nice, but I didn't know he was. I don't recall him being a defensive stopper though.
I can't remember that part of it, but I used to like Thunder Dan. He was a good player. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. I knew he could throw. He can hit the deep ball. He had
some ups and stuff.
He had some moves, but I didn't know he was considered like a defensive stopper.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about all that part, but yeah, but that's the thing I always remembered about that finals. Every time we drove, help. Help! Help! Every time, like, he's just screaming for his teammates to come help him, you know. And
I forgot how tough that series was, though, man.
Yeah, it was a good series.
That's what I'm saying. That series was tough.
That was a tough series, man.
I think
the other part too, before I get to my next question, was Clyde Drexler, because
I knew about that.
Yeah, we knew about that, but what? Because I have, like I said, if you know this whole quarantine thing is, I'll lend you my dream team book, but. In the Dream Team book, they talked about that specific thing where, like, he took a personal between, like, Drexler and everything. But what the average people don't know is that after, unless you read the book, after that Dream Team, the finals was over, during the first few Dream Team practices, he was still beating the shit out of Drexler. They said he was still killing Drexler. They said Magic and them had to step in and say, okay, yo, like, you're breaking him now. Like, let's calm down. Like we gotta save him. You know what I mean? Like you can't break your teammate. Like we're all one here. And they said Jordan finally pulled back.
Let me ask you a question. Do you believe Jordan in that bullshit? He's talking about how it ain't him. It is not because of him that Isaiah wasn't on the Dream Team.
I mean, I do believe the fact that it was probably a few guys because Jordan arrived. The Bad Boys left a lot of bitter taste in a lot of people's mouths during that time. But no, I don't believe him.
Yeah, he can say he might have not said the name, mm-hmm. but come on, you damn well know that it was implied that we'll take him off to get you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Let's go, Mike. Come on.
And it's messed up because we all know we should have been on that team. But
absolutely. But there's no doubt he should have been on a team.
But with that said, I mean, yeah, I mean, and then you got to remember too, like with the whole
now who would you take him off?
You can't take off
Christian Laettner because he's a de facto because of college. Who do you take off that team?
Yeah, that's a tough part.
I know.
You can't really take. I mean, you could say Stockton, really and truly. You could say Stockton, yeah. But I mean, Stockton deserved to be there too. But it would probably just be him just because of the position. But I mean, he deserved to be there too.
But I think Isaiah deserves it more though.
Yeah, of course. Because think about it. Like during that time when they're announcing the team, he was the two-time NBA champion. Jordan at the time only had one.
Just a couple years removed.
Like they went to the conference finals 5 years in a row, finals 3 years in a row before that. Like, yeah, I mean, come on. Like we hate the Bad Boys and they got a lot of flack, but they had their time. You know, they had their time. But like I didn't believe. And then you got to remember too, like I think even when Jordan came into the league, you remember that I think his first All-Star game, there was conspiracy that Isaiah and Magic Johnson froze him out. They're freezing him out at his first game. Like they were either trying to defend them really hard, the West, and his teammates weren't passing him the ball because they felt like he was getting too much hype that first year.
Really? Magic also?
Well, that's the conspiracy rumors. Who knows if it's true or not? But I mean, but if there's any truth to that, plus the Bad Boy stuff, yeah, like you could see where. He's gonna be like, "Yo, I'm not messing with this guy." So, based off your memories of watching the games and being reminded of the playoff runs back in the early '90s, who do you feel more in terms of for not winning a ring during this particular time, especially pertaining to these two episodes? Do you feel more for Ewing,
Patrick,
or do you feel more for Barkley?
I feel for Patrick because then again, they did lose 4-0 to Houston, so it's not like they didn't make it to the finals.
Yeah. Like he had his opportunity.
Yeah, he did. I don't know. Now that I think of it, I was gonna say Patrick for sure, but when he retired, that should have been they should have won it. And not only they didn't win it, they got snubbed. Mind you, that was a whole lot of John Starks' fault, but
yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I feel for both of them. Tell you the truth, man.
Yeah,
I feel for both of them.
Yeah, I lean towards Barkley, but I feel for both of them. Like, see, for me, like, I was, you know, I grew up, like, again, I've always said this many times, like, I love Jordan, but I wasn't a Jordan stan. Like, Magic Johnson was my guy, so I was a Lakers guy coming up until he retired. And, you know, when the Bulls won their first title, I was rooting against the Bulls. Like, I was mad until I saw Jordan break down crying with the trophy. Then that's when I was like, all right, okay, yeah, he deserved it. Like, you know what I mean? It's like at that point, I was okay. The Blazers, I might have been rooting for Portland a little bit, but I think I was a little more indifferent. But when they played Phoenix, I was rooting for Barkley, man. I was mad when Paxson hit that jumper. Like, I wanted Barkley because I felt like you got to look at Barkley's situation. Like, Barkley, during that time, you know, he left Philly. The team was like, it was like a sinking ship. You know, he goes to the Dream Team. He's probably the best. He probably played the best out of everybody on that Dream Team experience. Like, he had the most.
He's a top scorer, I think.
Yeah, he had the most to gain from that experience, especially being, you know, on the shitty team and all that stuff. Like, everybody benefited, but, like, I thought he really jumped the level. Then he brought that momentum to Phoenix. They get the best record in the league. He wins MVP. You know what I'm saying? He goes to that whole bloodbath of a Western Conference, plays pretty much out of his mind for most of the finals, and it just still wasn't enough.
Tell you the truth, I was always a Jordan fan, so I was rocking with Jordan through and through, mm-hmm. to the point that when the Knicks made it to the finals, I was rooting for Houston. And trust me, I was like one of the only Houston fans out there. Like, all the
brothers. I wasn't rooting for Houston, too. I liked Olajuwon.
Oh, were you?
Olajuwon was my guy.
And I was like, yo, I wanted Houston to win because I rolled with Jordan. I rolled with the Bulls, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? But like, yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I feel for Ewan.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like, even though Ewan went to a final, I feel like he gets less praise.
Yeah, throughout history, yeah. It's almost like he's a little underrated now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I probably still feel more for Ewan.
Yeah, and it's tough because when you look back, like, those Knicks teams, I enjoyed watching them play. They were so tough.
Yeah, they lost a few years to Jordan. It wasn't just one year, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they lost a few times.
Right. But I think with the Knicks, like, outside of Ewing, really and truly, is, I mean, they just played really well together, and they were really tough and really intimidating. But, like, there was no one player you're afraid of outside of Ewing. You think about it. You know what I mean? Like, Oakley wasn't a guy. Yeah, you're afraid of Oakley. But you weren't afraid that he was going to get like 20-10 on you.
Game and stuff. No, but I mean, yeah, like you said, is their brand of basketball?
Yeah, like
no,
you weren't.
Starks
like,
was good
like,
though.
Like,
man.
Yeah, I love Starks, but Starks wasn't a guy that was like getting 25 a night. You know what I mean? Like, he was good, but like it wasn't
but
somebody
he got,
where
he
you're, like
pressure. He was good and like, he was a pressure guy though.
Yeah, he was.
Might have got 25 a night, but I don't know. Maybe I see Starks more of a threat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he didn't back down from Jordan when they used to play against. Nah. That's what I liked about him. You know, I like that. And then that left-handed dunk is like that goes down in the annals of history.
Yo,
right?
That the dunk that he put on both of them like that. I think all three of them were with Horse included were in that. Yeah, that's one of the nastiest plays I've actually
ever seen. Yeah, straight up. Like that's even to this day. Like that's a 6'2" shooting guard goes left-handed on Horace Grant and Jordan. Like Jordan, Horace Grant is in the poster. Like that's.
Yo, but I thought you can't beat that. Was it three of them in the poster?
I can't remember, but I know those two for sure were in it.
Yeah, you know? Horace. I know. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but it's like you can't beat the and lefty. Like he went lefty leaner. Like that's that's disgusting. But like going back to Barkley a second. Like think about this, Eddie. The guy MVP averaged 27-14-6. In the finals, incredible, great stats, right? Right.
With the Jordan average,
41, 8.5 rebounds and six assists.
Well, it's crazy. It's crazy what Barkley said. He's like, "Yo, it was the first time Barkley said that I played my heart out And I realized I was not the best player. Like, it didn't matter what I did, I was not the best player.
Yeah, it's sobering.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's sobering. And we've all come across that, you know, doing sports where it's like that moment hits you like, wow, this person is actually better than me. Like, we've all had that moment at least one point in time. So you get that.
And to be such close friends, too.
I know.
Jeez. I don't know.
I know. But
I need some separation for a little bit after that, man.
But, and then I guess the last thing I wanted to talk about, too, before we wrap this up is just about, like, we're talking about this right before the podcast started, just in terms of the scrutiny and the fame and just how everything kind of wore down on him. Like, it's funny because you're hearing people say, like, oh, this is why, you know, like, and not to bring up LeBron again. I don't want to do that, actually. But, like, you know, these guys are, like, amazing because they handle all the pressure plus social media and stuff. But, like, I don't disagree with that. But the one thing I will put in there is, like, well, it's harder for, I would say it's equally hard for Jordan still because nobody was going through that type of scrutiny back then. You know what I mean? Like, people went through their shit, of course. Like, every star went through their stuff. But because Jordan was such a global star and they talked about it, like, the fact that his image was so clean, you know what I mean, all that stuff going forward, like, you know what I mean? Like, to knock him down the pedestal was, like, it was coming from that peak, like, coming from Mount Everest. It was tough, man. It was tough.
So do you think it's harder then than it is now?
You know what? I think it's tougher now to succeed because of, like, everybody's got a camera on them. But I'm just saying, like, somebody had to go through that path first. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah, he was definitely a trailblazer.
He was a trailblazer when it comes to that. So, like, I remember hearing this story a few years ago when the All-Star game came to Toronto, and I remember my brother was telling a story about a friend of his that was a manager at the Eaton Center. And he said during All-Star weekend, and he said he's close to closing time. And he said, you know, he's, you know, trying to wrap up and everything. And he said, this guy walks past, it's time to walk past him. And he looks up and it's Jordan. And it's Jordan by himself. No security. You know what I mean? Like, no entourage, no cameras, no all this stuff. It was just Jordan walking by himself. So he's like, he said he spoke to him a little bit. And he said, Jordan just continued walking through, like, the Eatons, and then he went through the Eaton Center. But I was like, when you look at that, I'm like, yo, what I thought was cool about that story, I was like, yo, I'm sure Jordan probably, like, loved that experience because so many years you couldn't even leave your room. Like, you could never leave your hotel. Because, I mean, like, you see LeBron and all these guys and different, but you see them pop up at stuff. Like, you know, like, LeBron comes to your caravan a weekend. He's at parties. You know what I mean? Like, you see him. Somebody like Jordan couldn't even do anything. Like I remember you see your stories, like, Jordan used to go to the movies and had to come in the first maybe 10 minutes after the movie started and leave 5 or 10 minutes before it ended because if people realize Jordan was in the theater with you, it would be chaos. You know, like, somebody had to go through it first. You know what I mean?
So, well, that's the thing. There was no blueprint, right? So he's trying to maneuver this like Dolo.
Right.
Who is he going to really talk to on that kind of grand scale? Also, the other thing I find interesting was kind of like how to deal with demise, because when the whole gambling thing came out, that was a kink. And when you put in this pedestal, how do you now take the bashing? I mean, he didn't have a burner phone like KD has. Like, how do you how do you intake, absorb that now? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
When everybody loves you, and now all of a sudden you're taking a beating, and it's not like you didn't have the internet where you can put your own statement out and whatnot. Like, it was a little bit more harder to get your voice out.
Right.
The media's voice was a whole lot bigger in magnitude than your voice.
Right.
But do you believe him when he says that he doesn't have a gambling issue?
It's a good question.
You know what? That might be a question for part 7 and 8, because I think they delve more into it.
Yeah,
especially with his father and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. I do believe that he has a competition problem, just because all the stories that you hear of everything, like this guy, like, you play ping pong with him and it's like he has to beat you in ping pong. You know what I mean? We'll you know, go insane or break the table over your head if he doesn't beat you.
But that's fine. You can always win. But the fact that you have to put money on it all the time,
right? That's true.
Like, I feel like I'm competitive, but I don't need to I don't need to put bets all on. Obviously, our bets aren't going to be as big, but like, I don't need to put bets on everything.
But I think the thing is too, when you're, I guess, yeah, it's tough. Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not sure, to be honest with you. That I'm not sure. Like, if I believe.
Yeah,
it or
I understand.
Not.
He can pay his debts. Yes.
Yeah. But, easily. Yeah.
But it's like, why do you feel like everything has to be put money on it? And just when I think it was Will Perdue was talking about how the back of the bus will be paying for like thousands of dollars. They're paying for like $1 a pot. And he's like, yo, let me get in here. And they're like, yo, Paxton's like, why do you want to play with us? We're paying for like $1 a pot. He's like, I just want to know that I have your money in my pocket. I'm like, yo, what
the? Yeah, he's got a gambling problem. Yeah. To answer your question, yes, I don't believe him. I don't believe him. He's got a gambling problem. You're absolutely right. And I know we're going to wrap up right now, but I'm just thinking about this on the fly. We didn't talk about the whole Republicans buy sneakers too comment. I totally forgot about that. But
oh man,
you know, I know.
Yeah, because he tries real quick, because I know he tried to downplay it. Mm-hmm. But that's the first time I don't know if he's ever said it in the past, but how he said it, he made it sound like he said it cheekily on the bus and stuff like that too. I'm like, so how did that quote get out if this was among friends?
Somebody leaked it.
Yeah, and then two, how come you never corrected your stance on that? Because you took a real beating in the public for that. You think you'd want to come out and be like, yo, listen, I said it in jest. It wasn't, you know, to be taken verbatim.
Right.
So, I don't know. As we said, I feel like he really felt that way, so.
Yeah, and I mean, but, you know, I've always heard, too, that, like, you know, over the years when it comes to, you know, people saying it doesn't take his, you know, enough public stances, you know, like black causes and social issues and stuff. And I don't disagree with that. But you also do hear that he's very philanthropic when it comes to providing to like different causes and stuff. He's just not a person that does it like.
Well, yeah,
publicly.
He does. I mean, yeah, he'll donate his money, but he doesn't want to put his face in front
face
of
on it. Yeah, because you even hear like, I don't know how true this is. Anybody that works at Jordan Brand, please correct me if this is wrong. But, you know, you hear that, like, even something like that, like, a lot of the employees, say, like, at Jordan Brand or, like, even with the Hornets, is black. You know what I mean? So it's like, he's always hiring his own. But, yeah, you just don't hear a public face for it. And that's okay, too, in some cases. Because you don't, like, again, I always said, like, you don't, I'm not the type of person that looks for my athlete to be the speaker for all things black. You know what I mean? At the same time, like, I'm not looking for my athletes to be Muhammad Ali. Or Martin Luther King, you know what I mean? But it's like, but it would have been nice if you would have heard him say things like that, like the classic stories with the movie X. You know, when I don't know if you heard the story, but like Spike Lee ran out of money. He went over budget on X, and the studio didn't want to give him any more money, so he had to borrow money from like his celebrity friends until basically the movie came out, like the Oprah Winfrey's, the Bill Cosby's. And I know Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan were big contributors to that too, right?
No, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, so like you hear stuff like that, so it's like, so there's got to be a little bit of truth there, that where he is, like, you know, like he did give to causes and different things like that, because you would never hear, like, if you look at the ending credits of X, like they show it, and they show Jordan wearing the X cap, him and Magic, and they showed him, and you know, like as one of the people that helped contribute to make the movie finish, right? So,
I'm not saying that he didn't contribute, but I also think it was strategic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and not he, yeah, I don't disagree with that. There.
And then, you know what? Who knows? Because obviously he had to have social acceptance in a lot of thresholds and a lot of doors to open for Jordan to flourish the way that he is, for him to be an owner in the NBA.
Yeah.
So, you know what? He might have had to do what he had to do in the manner that he did to be where he's at today.
No. Yeah. And I mean, and I mean, so, we've always talked about this, like, yo, this man got divorced and his wife took half. He didn't sign a prenup. Took half his worth, and he's still a billionaire.
Yeah. That didn't even hurt him. And I swear, I remember at the time, wasn't that like the biggest alimony settlement?
Yeah. I think it was only like second to like Paul McCartney or something like that at the time.
Yeah. I think Paul McCartney was first and he was second at that time. Stupid.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But you know what? Let's wrap this up here. But you know, no doubt. As usual, thank you for coming on this podcast and, you know, sharing your thoughts. We definitely got to we will do this again soon, because, you know, I'm talking about another episode that I definitely want to do a podcast on. Maybe next week even. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. But you know, definitely people look out for that one, because it's about a show. All I'll say is it's about a show that I don't see a lot of people talking about it, but it is hella entertaining. I'll just say it at that. You know, we'll leave it for that. But we definitely got to talk about that one, because that's been, okay. I don't want to say it's been carrying me through the quarantine, but it's a pleasant surprise. I'm glad I came across that mistakenly. It's hilarious.
Yeah, you know what? I thank you for putting me on it too.
Yeah. Oh, no question. Yeah, that's that. We definitely got to come back and talk about that for sure.
Go ahead. Didn't I put you on to, what show I put you on to? Breaking Bad or King of Queens?
King of Queens, so, maybe. Yeah.
No, you know,
you're trying to favor. Whatever. Anyways. All right. So everybody that's listening to this podcast, thank you for tuning in and lending me your ears. Make sure to subscribe, listen, rate, and review and everything else on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher, as well as my website, SalSharav.com. Make sure you check out my entire catalog of podcast shows, including the Shitty Shoe War Stories episode. Please go back and listen to that one. Like I said, I think I might repost that on my social media accounts on Thursday or Friday to represent Throwback Thursday and Flashback Friday, because that was a classic episode, man. So, if you want to, once again, if you want to check out my catalog, go to SalSharav.com. Once again, that's SalSharav.com. And not to mention,
it ties into, we have a great story about how we got our first Jordans.
Oh yes, apps, yes, absolutely.
On that episode.
Yes. Too, so yeah, now I definitely have to repost this. Yeah. So the commitment is real now. So we'll be back next Tuesday with talking about episodes 7 and 8. So please, stay tuned for that. For Headley, this is Cal C. And you've just tuned into the AV podcast on South Sharav Radio. Until the next podcast, folks, peace. We out. Stay safe.